The next case is 98-11-11, State of Ohio versus Carol Dean Lilly.
They couldn't have all been interested in Ohio State.
Dan, so that the people are here. Dan, I wanted him to come back.
I told you to get here.
There you go.
The driver out is on.
Reading your brief, it seemed that made some sense, that the statute only meant the marital dwelling, yet the language of that statute said neither spouse shall, it says from neither, from the other's dwelling. So it does seem to, implicit in that is that there would be separate dwellings, and one can't be excluded from the other spouse's dwelling, even in the instance where each has a dwelling.
Well, I think that it stems out the fact that the other dwelling was the marital residence at one time, and that's what Randy discussed, that the legislative history of the case. When this was back in 1870s or 1887, when the Ohio Married Women Act was passed, it gave women the right to own disposal of property and make contracts and sue them. And Slansky discusses a case out of New York that gave a husband a right to, because the husband would be evicted from the marital dwelling after the spouse had left, because she now had a right to property and to own and dispose of it, to own property, and that right that was never there before.
Yeah.
And that section was created to preserve that right, basically to prevent him from being evicted from his property.
That, and maybe Slansky helps us with this, that this statute is directed at property rights as opposed to access. And it's a bigger picture than being allowed to barge in anywhere. It's only about property rights, because that's in the time when it was enacted, it was, you cannot exclude, as in, you know, take away my property rights, as opposed to just access. Is there... that nobody's made that argument.
Well, I agree that it does deal with rights to property, and it is in the divorce section.
Ownership rights, when I say that.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And I think that's definitely another way of looking at it, that, it's placed in that section of the code to deal with property.
Mm-hmm.
It modifies the sentence before it that deals with each one having no right to property as the other. And I don't think it creates a privilege to commit a criminal act. It doesn't excuse someone to break into a home for self-deception.
Well, the Court of Appeals, of course, didn't say this excused anything. I mean, we're at the Court of Appeals viewpoint, albeit they got there through plain error. It wasn't that it excused it. It's just that it looked to them like the elements of trespass couldn't be met. In light of this statute, a privilege to, they thought, access.
Well, I think the Court of Appeals did find that there was stealth. I think that they relied on the privilege aspect.
Right.
That the, they felt that this negated privilege element, but they felt it was a necessary element of trespassing. And our position is that And the elements were met that there is that given the privilege, that privilege didn't extend to a privilege to commit criminal acts.
Well, that's the point. Maybe it doesn't even, this statute doesn't even give a privilege. That's questionable whether it gives a privilege of access. It perhaps gives a privilege to property rights.
That's correct. And that's where I refer to my brief to. There may be some privilege, and I think I was pointed out in Appalachian brief, that I said that there may be some privilege, but my reference was that there may be some privilege, property right privilege, but it's definitely not a privilege to commit a criminal act.
So that would be your strongest argument. This statute does not apply in this instance.
That's correct. I don't think it applies to a plain burglary.
Especially when you read the first part of the statute discussing the right of dower and the right to remain in the mansion house.
Yeah, that's correct, Your Honor. I think that that's clear that in this case that violence is a privileged behavior, and that statute doesn't grant that privilege. I think also that there's a problem that the case that this issue was raised below. I know that they found it was a plain error, but it's our position that that here this was a firm defense that should have been raised, because we don't even have any evidence whether it was or was not a court order, and that's not even in the record below. We don't know. I don't think the state needs to disprove every potential privilege. We do find that there is a privilege. However, and I think it would be very difficult for the state to have to try to disprove every privilege when they put on evidence that there was a privilege. By putting on her evidence, she established a separate residence, and this is well in a separate residence, so he did not have to be there to do it. Well, she had to leave earlier in the evening, and there's definitely that fact as well. And then he stuck back in later on that evening. Essentially, reserves on my time. What we have here, this is Kay, was an abused woman with courage and did move out. She took the hardest step, which is the first step. The courts recognized that, all the difficulty in moving out. And she thought she was safe in her new home, and asked the court to reverse the decision of the Court of Appeals and make her safe in that home.
Thank you, Mr. Amirante. Mr. Atkins.
Justice members of the Ohio Supreme Court, my name is Dennis Sachs, and I represent Harold Lilly Jr. This case basically is about whether or not the crime of burglary, as defined by statute, was committed on the facts of this case. The Second District Court of Appeals ruled as a matter of law that the crime of burglary should not be committed because of Section 3103.04 negated the sexuality.
Nobody raised that at trial, right?
Yes, you're correct in that specifically. However,
Rule 29 motion.
Trial, every issue was put before the court and jury. The defendant himself with the trial, and the burden of the state to prove each and every element of the offense, the trespasses of such element.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there was a Rule 29 motion made. It wasn't specific, but it was raised.
And a privilege, I mean, if this is indeed a privilege in terms of a trespass, crime of trespass, and the failure to raise that as, it strikes me as more in the nature, if it's anything, it's in the nature of some kind of an affirmative defense, like self-defense, isn't it? And it wasn't raised by the defendant so that it couldn't be even argued at trial.
I disagree that it's an affirmative defense, mm-hmm. Your Honor. The reason why I disagree is 3103.04 says that an individual does have a privilege to enter the other's dwelling. What that statute does...
It doesn't say that.
Well...
You were saying it is here, but it doesn't... Those words, of course, aren't used, but go ahead.
Words.
Right.
Just aware of that mm-hmm. was the statute. But what I think that statute does is completely remove the social element of burglary, and that's trespass. The act of privilege then removes it, and it does not rise to affirmative defense. In this particular case.
Everybody's trying the case without any, you know, not a peep about why there's no trespass here. I mean, what was the defense at trial?
basically that the crime was not committed. The crime of burglary was not committed.
A trial? The defendant? How did the defendant defend at trial? Certainly not this statute.
That he had a right to go in this house. He was staying in his
house. Did? He tried it that way?
Yes,
okay.
He had a right to be. And the facts pointed out the reason why this is so. She moved into this apartment on January 2nd, 97. This incident happened on January 27th, just in a few weeks.
He was saying it was his place? Because he wasn't raising the statute, but he was saying it was his place.
He stayed there by her own testimony. Mm-hmm. He stayed there at least 12 days by her own admissions during that period of time. It's true he didn't have a key, but the door was left unlocked. He came and went to the police. It was a garage door that he had. He helped her move in. They moved in marital property from his storage place. His property, which is marital property, and her property moved in there. He did chores around the apartment like any husband would do. He fixed things, put the ceiling fan, fixed a lock. In fact, this is data that this incident happened. He fixed a blank shelf on a unit.
Would you ever concede that at any point this statute is not appropriate or effective? For instance, what if a party had been separated for a full year?
I think the court...
Full year, no court orders, no question of violence, and suddenly the spouse, make it the male, goes over to her separate residence, invades it, burglarizes it, and leaves. And no court order, so therefore he can't be convicted of burglary?
It is hard to put a time frame on this, Your Honor. One of the cases cited makes that very point, that you cannot put a time frame on the statute. What the statute doesn't do, it doesn't allow someone to commit acts of violence or other crimes procuring the house. If someone enters the other dwelling and commits acts therein, such as domestic violence, such as other acts, they can be charged with that, and they have no protection under the statute.
But under your version, if they have a very acrimonious court, she gets a separate place and never wants to see or hear from him again, and she comes home one day finding him watching the Super Bowl, as mentioned, in her living room with a bunch of his buddies, that's terribly loud.
Well, the statute now does permit an individual to obtain certain orders from the court, such as...
So then she has to go to court and get an order to say, you can't come in and watch the Super Bowl in my house.
But it's a question whether I can go to the house.
Well, it says.
He just showed up one day and he's there.
Well, that's not necessarily out of the facts of this case. He was coming and going on a regular basis.
Well, we have to write him off for all cases.
Well, I understand that, Your Honor. And I would say that if there is some risk of harm being done to a spouse, there are provisions in the statute that permit that under domestic violence restraining orders, temporary protection orders. In fact, when the legislature passed the domestic violence law, and supplements back in 1996, the statute was on the books. It's been solidified since 1953. They were aware of this when they passed some other laws.
But they had a case out there that interpreted it this way yet. Well, there's a 1945 case that deals with neither husband nor wife has any interest in the property of the other except the present right of support, etc., the right given by the statute to a surviving spouse in the remaining property of the deceased spouse. Now, this statute can be read solely being applied to a
stop the deceit where it says
the statute of descent distribution.
The right of dower and the right to remain in the mansion after the death of either. Neither can be excluded from the other's dwelling except upon a degree or injunction, etc. So that could really, this statute could have been intended by the legislature to only apply in those situations where one spouse dies and the other spouse has an absolute right to remain in that dwelling. And I think that that interpretation has not even been examined. But in light of that case, it could certainly appear that it only applies in those situations, and that the lower court has simply misinterpreted it.
Well, I would agree there's language in there about that, Your Honor, but it also goes on and it talks about that you can't be excluded as some sort of decree or injunction.
But we have to remember that this particular piece of legislation was passed in 1953, long before we had any of the protections that have arisen as a result of recognizing domestic violence. I think it has to be put in its proper time frame.
I would agree with Your Honor, but when the legislature passed the domestic violence law,
I understand, you just said that, I've heard you say this before.
And we also,
but sometimes they do overlook previous sections.
Well, the courts have also, as recently as 1993 and 1995, have looked at this and made an interpretation.
They didn't have an enlightened interpretation of it.
Well, following up on Justice Breyer, I never thought of that. Now, all our problems are on live bodies, but when you do read it that way, neither can be excluded. So, I mean, the executor couldn't exclude, other family members couldn't exclude. You die, you have the right to stay in the house unless the court tells you you can't for some reason of the safety. Like, and they could have talked about it, property
and then talk about that. That certainly could be a determination. I think also the Slansky case is a very good example of this particular statute. And also another statute I point to the Justice attention is 3105.171. Again, it's under the main law scenario. That states that all real and personal property currently owned by either spouse, if acquired during the marriage, is joint marital property. This obviously was acquired during the marriage. Nothing that was pending in any court of any divorce action whatsoever. Nothing was ever filed. They lived in sort of a scenario that was probably uncommon, where they would be separated during the terms of marriage. They were married since 1988, had a child. They would separate, be back together, separate, be back together. This was nothing unique to this couple, and that was brought out during the testimony of the court. There is simply no evidence also that she moved into this residence to avoid a violent situation. That is not the case. She moved in there for whatever reason, but there was no testimony at all that it was because of some violence. There was no protection orders in place. In fact, contrary, the facts support a continuing, although strained, marital relationship. The state, in raising, I think, the issue of affirmative defense, as Justice pointed out before, we don't believe this is a affirmative defense, and I think by doing so, what this court would do would shift the burden from a state to the defendant to come forward with an essential element. This case, I think the statute clearly eliminates the essential element of trespass, and therefore that's constitutionally impermissible. Now, again, this is not a domestic violence case, and I think the state wants to make it as such and makes the argument that this statute, 310304, to excuse a burglary would be grossly out of place in today's society and conflicts with the current legislature's intentions. I'm assuming from their argument that they're saying that by allowing the statute to stand, that there is some way going to be an increase in domestic violence. Such an attempt, I don't think, is appropriate, and the facts of this case certainly does not lean to that. First of all, Mr. Wilding was not convicted of any crime of violence in this case. It was merely a burglary conviction. Second of all, the
widespread application of this section, to this section 31304, cases like this does not negate in any way, as I said earlier, a lone driver or man driver in that case to seek the protection of the court, to give an appropriate protection order. Thirdly, even though one spouse cannot be criminally liable for trespassing the other's dwelling, this does not mean that they cannot be prosecuted for other crimes. This is not a carte blanche protection for someone not to commit crimes. And lastly, as I stated before, I think this is a matter best left to the legislatures to take into account that statute needs to be changed, and it should be left to them. Therefore, the state's contention that this court should remedy the problem of domestic violence by upholding this conviction, reversing the lower courts of both in this place, and in opposition to what the legislation has done in the history of this particular statute. This does not invoke a privilege to the fact that someone can commit a crime. The Second District Court of Appeals properly applied this to the present case. We're asking this court to uphold the decision of the lower court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Mr. Amarante, you've saved a little over 3 minutes of your time.
Your Honor, I think it's no joke to practice any domestic violence, the issue of domestic violence in houses could be applied in the future. I think the exclusion or the attempt to exclude someone from their dwelling from a separate dwelling is a fact that's at the base of many domestic violence. And in this case in particular, her testimony that there was violence that evening, and he was lying in wait at the time that the person was hiding in the house. She had come back into the house with the police after she had reported the meetings earlier incident. And he was hiding in the garage at the time, or near the garage at the time, while she came back to the house. If this statute is found to give them privilege to be there, and at least discovered it in the house, they could have been taken. If they discovered it that evening, other than charging the offense that she had testified to earlier that evening, they had not taken place. He had come into the house, they could have removed him because he could have asserted some privilege under the statute. There's no testimony below that he had keys to his apartment, or that apartment was unlocked for him to come and go to the police, or that or there was a test of the garage door opener, as I indicated earlier, the only testimony was that he was given a went to the garage door opener one time.
That was the issue at trial then, as counsel said, it, you know, really it was, I was permitted to be there, she says no, and it was the key, the no key, the leaving it unlocked, and not the statute. But it really was, the court found against the defendant on the permission for getting the statute.
Correct. The trial court factually, they tried to factually show that he had spent
right.
time there, that the relationship was kind of on and off, that he had come back and spent some evenings there since he had been in jail and been in the apartment. On the 27th, she could have been around the first or second. He had spent some nights there, but the testimony that this was her place, there's no question it's her place, that the only time she was there is when he was invited to be there, and
yeah.
that you know, she had control over the woman's apartment at the time. And
you've used your time, sir.
In conclusion, that I'd just like to thank the court for his time and ask you to.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.